This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I have a very good friend here with me today to break down the Week 12 recap and our final buy low and sell high show of the season. He is Garrett Price. He can be found on Twitter at Dynasty Price, and he is doing all things over at Dynasty Nerds. Price, we got to talk about this right off the top, man. You're an Ohio State fan. How you doing after this past week?
You know, it's tough. I love Ohio State. I am a very big Ohio State fan. And saying that, honestly, Michigan, I don't know if they were just better, if they just wanted it more, if they were more well coached, which seems odd as far as Jim Harbaugh's gone so far. Like, I don't know what it was, but they handed it to us on Saturday. They were imposing their will in the running game. Their defensive line was just wrecking havoc. They just beat us. You know, it's the first time in almost, this would have been what, our ninth year in a row,
yeah,
if we would have won. So I will say, as much as it's painful and it sucks, it is kind of fun to have, you know, a little bit of more of that anticipation of like, all right, what's going to happen now? Like,
right,
how does this, you know, how does this unfold? Because even the 1 year that we had lost before that was the weird transition year with Luke Fickell and all of that. And it was just a really weird time in the landscape of Ohio State football. So it sucks. It hurts. But it's also kind of good in a weird way.
Well, it just goes to show like how unpredictable not only college football, but the NFL as well, like just how unpredictable football is. And that's what makes it fun, right? Like if we knew exactly that, you know, that this certain team was going to win every single year, it wouldn't be as fun to watch, right? No. Especially like as far as the Super Bowl, like it wouldn't be as fun to watch the entire season because you know the outcome. And that's what makes it so unpredictable. But you look at Michigan State beat Michigan this year, then Ohio State kicked the crap out of Michigan State, and then Michigan beat Ohio State, right? So you're looking at the Big Ten, and you're just like, we know nothing. And it's the same thing with the NFL sometimes. It's like, we know nothing sometimes. But we are going to do our best to parse through this information here with some of these dynasty assets and making sure that we are giving you the best information that we possibly can as we are at or near trade deadlines closing here in Dynasty Leagues. Before we get into that, I want to make sure that we talk about our Diontae Johnson signed jersey giveaway, courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. Guys, you heard me talk about this as far as how to enter this. Make sure that you go over to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest for more information. Before we get into those sell high and buy low players, Garrett, I wanted to ask you, we got some news here over the past couple of days here about the college football landscape. And I thought this would just be kind of fun to talk about, where we have the college football impact of Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma and going to USC, signing just a massive, massive contract. You look at the specifics there of that contract too, I'd be like, yeah, I'd sign that too, for sure. And then you look at Brian Kelly moving over from Notre Dame to LSU. So I wanted to get your opinion on this as the guy who was able to focus in more on college football during the season. What is the college football impact here of Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to USC? And then we can talk about Brian Kelly going from Notre Dame to LSU as well.
Yeah, the college football landscape has just been in total upheaval these past few days, because we haven't even mentioned all of the transfers too. I mean, we have some high profile.
Spencer Rattler, yep.
Yep, absolutely. All the Gibbs and Evans and all these big running backs. So everything has been crazy, but specifically going to Lincoln Riley and USC, this is a big move for USC. USC went from, you know, when you and I were younger, Kyle, USC was awesome. I mean, you had those, the Pete Carroll years and Matt Leinart before him, Carson Palmer, you had Reggie Bush just tearing it up. They were pretty close to becoming a college football dynasty. And ever since they kind of had their downturn, the entire pack has really just kind of also fallen down along with it. You've had some years where Oregon had some relevancy, but it's been tough on the West Coast there. I think this really does help boost some of the recruiting, because we've seen even USC, despite their illustrious history, they have not recruited well over the past 5-8 years. They're nowhere near where Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, like these other schools, they've been nowhere near these schools, which they used to always be the one you had to contend with for these top prospects, especially with how many good prospects come out of the state of California. So I think this is huge for USC. I think this is really going to help put them back on the map. And who knows how many Oklahoma players might end up coming with them because of the new rules. It kind of changes everything.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You hit on it there. And that was the part that I wanted to talk about, was the recruiting and the homegrown talent in California, right? Staying at USC. I think this is a huge move for them to be able to make this move and bring in Lincoln Riley, who is a well-respected coach in college football ranks. I think it's a home run hire there. Let's talk about Brian Kelly to LSU. LSU had the fantastic year with Joe Burrow and everyone else, and then they just fell off a cliff here. So what does this do for LSU in your opinion, and what are the college football impact here?
This one's a little more interesting. I think this is a little bit less of a slam dunk than it was with Lincoln Riley, and partly because I think just the image that Brian Kelly has. He's this old, grouchy guy that traditionally recruits defense well, maybe some offensive linemen. But those star players, those flashy players, we haven't seen a lot of those high recruits come to Notre Dame lately. The, you know, the star receivers, the star quarterbacks, the star running backs. We haven't seen a lot of those fantasy positions that we get excited about. We haven't seen them be crazy strong in that aspect. And even some of the higher recruits that they've had, they haven't done a great job in developing some of those higher name recruits. That doesn't mean there haven't been players to come out. Chase Claypool comes to mind recently, that obviously he went to Notre Dame and he's done well. But overall, it's once again, this program that is looked at as a powerhouse, but is still kind of behind those top four or five teams almost every year in recruiting. So I'm not sure that this is great for LSU. I don't know that this is the style that many people expected to happen here. But, you know, Brian Kelly does, like we said, recruit well for defense. And we've seen how well that worked for Georgia this year, just having a monster defense and how well they've played. So I think it's a fine hire, but I think it's far from a slam dunk. And for a fantasy perspective, I don't know that we're going to have the excitement that we would want from an LSU.
Yeah, it's interesting. You see the hire, you heard the rumors beforehand, you know, Brian Kelly to LSU, and you think, okay, well, why would he do that, right? You're at Notre Dame, you're continuously in at least the college football playoff conversation. You're not really making much of an impact in the college football playoff, but you're at least in the conversation. And now you're going to go over to the SEC, and you're going to get, you know, smacked by Nick Saban and Alabama, and you've got really significant competition there. Why would you do that? And then you look at the pay cut, or the pay raise that he's going to get. Exactly. And you go, oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily a ton to take away from fantasy football necessarily with Brian Kelly going to LSU. There is a ton to take away from fantasy though, as we look at some of these dynasty assets. And so let's talk about these guys. Let's go to you here for a sell high player. Let's kick it off here. Who is someone that you're looking to sell high on?
So I'm going to start off with my most spicy one. And if you follow me on Twitter or you've listened to the Dynasty Nerds podcast, you probably know, you're probably going to see this coming. But I'm probably selling high on Najee Harris. Now, I get that that's weird to sell high on a rookie. There's so much future ahead of him. He's had a good season as far as the numbers go. But I do worry about what happens next year. What happens when Ben Roethlisberger is no longer the quarterback here? We've seen guys like him, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. These guys, as they're aging, they're getting older, they tend to check it down to the running back a lot. If we get some young, exciting rookies in there, or maybe a free agent in there, there's no guarantee that they're going to be checking it down nearly the volume that a guy like Ben Roethlisberger has. And that's what's really been buoying his fantasy production, is just those raw targets. He's second at the running back spot in targets and fourth in rush attempts. So it's just a crazy amount of total touches. But if you were to go just even not saying a bad quarterback for checkdowns, but even just average numbers, average out the top 16 guys, that would move him from currently RB7 in points per game down to roughly RB13 in points per game. So we're talking about a mid-range RB1 down to the top end of an RB2. Now, I'm not saying that he is a bad asset. I'm not saying that he, you know, you have to get him off your roster. Obviously, he's a good player in redraft. You're looking for touches. So he was a great pick this year. But in Dynasty, I do have my concerns. I do have my worries. I see a lot of people have him as a top five running back. I would have him outside of the top five for me. So I think you could capitalize on his volume, his good rookie campaign, and maybe get one of these nice young running backs and then a decent amount on top. A guy like J.K. Dobbins, a guy like Cam Akers, Javonte Williams, somebody that hasn't necessarily proven it all the way yet or has right. something else that might be lurking, but has just as much, if not maybe more upside, but then you can get some picks or some other young player as well. So I know that's going to be the most controversial one, but I thought I'd throw that out first.
It's interesting because, and I talked about it with Deontay Johnson last week, saying where, what is this offense? What does this offense look like next year without Big Ben? Because I think we can both agree, right? Like, this is the last year for Big Ben. Like, even if Big Ben wants to play again, I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to let him. So then what's the, you're looking at Mason Rudolph. That's not going to be a great experience. Like Dwayne Haskins or, so the really only instance where I think that the offense could take a step forward, and especially too, when we look at the upcoming rookie class at quarterback, we say, and comparing it to where Pittsburgh is in the draft order, saying that they're not going to get a slam dunk of a rookie quarterback coming in either to elevate this offense. So it's really, you're looking at either Aaron Rodgers, you know, a trade away from Green Bay. You're maybe luring Russell Wilson away from Seattle, Deshaun Watson. And all three of those instances are pretty like low probability, right? Where we look at this offense taking a step forward. And even all three of those guys are not necessarily check down kings. So I definitely see what you're saying as far as the volume now. And I'm glad that you classified it saying like he's still a very valuable fantasy asset. This is just taking a look at what the potential future is for Najee Harris and basing it off of what he's doing currently and saying that there's a difference there in that value point. And so if you can take advantage of it and yeah, taking a guy like Javonte Williams and maybe you adding something else on top of it, like where Javonte next year could be a top 10 running back if he gets, you know, the backfield to himself if Melvin Gordon leaves, like that is something where it's worth considering. For me, I'm going to go with, I think, even a spicier name, right? I'm going to take some of the pressure off of you. I'm going to go with Davante Adams here, man. I just talked about it with Aaron Rodgers and potentially luring him away from Green Bay or whatever the case may be. I think that at the start of this season, we all kind of went into it and said, like, this is his last year in Green Bay. This, you know, the last dance photos and everything like that. Like, we all kind of see this coming, that this is the last year for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And Davante Adams is a free agent next year. So there is the possibility that, let's just play this forward. I'm throwing out a team. Let's say that Pittsburgh does trade for him. You know, they trade for Aaron Rodgers. They bring him in town and then they say, okay, we'll sign Davante Adams too, because we know that you love playing with Davante Adams. So there's that possibility. And in that case, that value point for Adams really doesn't take much of a hit. But what happens if Aaron Rodgers does get traded to another team and they don't have room for Davante Adams? They can't fit him under the cap. They can't sign him. Or Green Bay makes a, you know, a re-sign of him and stuff like that. And then he's got Jordan Love throwing him the ball. Like, Davante Adams is a phenomenal wide receiver in his own right. but he has been as good for fantasy as he has been over recent years because of what Aaron Rodgers does and with his chemistry there. So I think that if we remove Aaron Rodgers from the equation, then we can at least play this forward and say, what are the percentage chances? If we play this out, what are the percentage chances that Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are not going to be together next year? That's enough for me to say I can still get a first round pick next year, plus a pretty good young wide receiver, especially for if I'm not a contending team this year. That's something that I'm at least willing to consider, trading away Davante Adams, because it could be that his value point is at the highest that it will possibly be moving forward, unless he ends up with another phenomenal quarterback. But again, we're playing that forward and saying, what are the percentage chances of that happening? So I'm saying Davante Adams, if you have him and you are not in the playoff push this year, consider selling him off because of that scenario. Let's go back to you for your second sell high player.
Yeah, I'm going to capitalize. I think the last time I was on, we got a chance to talk about some buy lows and sell high players. And it was interesting because one of the things I talked about was the scarcity at running back and how many running backs were injured. Well, now somehow it's only gotten worse since the last time we talked. I mean, we're looking at huge name players that are either done for the year or are going to be missing up into your playoffs. And it's just a nightmare. One guy that is steadily produced, even though I don't think the future is super bright, is James Conner. James Conner has absolutely produced for fantasy football managers. Since September 26th, he only has one game where he does not have a single touchdown or two touchdowns. And half those games, he has two touchdowns. So he has 12 on the year. He's been absolute monster. He is the only guy back there in the Arizona Cardinals backfield at the moment. We know at some point Chase Edmonds may or may not be back, but we haven't gotten a lot of news there. And teams that are contending for a title just need a warm body. But James Conner's been even a little bit more than that because of the crazy volume and all of the goal line opportunities. So I think this is the ultimate sell high. You might, now, call me crazy, you might even be able to sneak and get a first round pick out of a team that just lost Christian McCaffrey, or a team that just lost Dalvin Cook and doesn't have Alexander Mattison behind him. Or, you know, you might be able to sneak and get a first round pick from a guy like James Conner, which is great in any year, but especially if you can get it in 2023, there's a lot of value to be had there. So James Conner is the guy that I want to sell at this pinnacle sell high, because there's no guarantee he's even on the Cardinals next year.
So this is perfect, because just a peek behind the curtain, as I am sitting here in the host chair, I'm looking at the time tick through and I'm like, oh man, we're only through two sell high players. We got to kind of speed this up a little bit. You take one of my players for the sell high. So this is perfect. There we cut off some time here and we talk about the same player, James Conner. I'm going to completely agree with you, because just a spoiler alert, all the players that I'm going to talk about are free agents this upcoming year. And that is the case for James Conner, where we look at Conner and we say there's no guarantee that he is on the Arizona Cardinals next year with his injury history. And now he's stayed healthy this year, but with his injury history, with his age playing a role here, like, we see these veteran running backs that go on the free agent market, they don't really have much value. And I think that NFL GMs are going to be able to sit down and look at James Conner's production this year, and they're going to be able to say this is more so a product of the offense versus what Conner is doing specifically, right? It's not like Conner is out here making a ton of people miss in the open field and just housing, you know, making house calls all the time. Like, this is just the fact that he's getting a ton of goal line work and that he's inflating his production with touchdowns, right? So I think with James Conner, this is a perfect play where we say, yeah, I am absolutely looking to sell high on James Conner. And you said, you know, the first round pick, and I think a lot of people are going to bristle at that, but if you're a contending team, like, and you have stud wide receivers, your dynasty team, you're making a deep playoff push, like, you seem poised to do that, and you need one of these running backs that's going to help you this year, I don't think it's crazy to make that investment. Now, I wouldn't look to do it personally, but I don't think that it's crazy. So I absolutely think that you could, in some leagues, make that move, because James Conner will help people to a fantasy championship this year. I just don't know if that necessarily is going to lead to, from a dynasty perspective, a ton of production down the road. Let's go back to you for your third sell high player.
Yeah, I'll try to keep this pretty brief, but it's another one that might be a little surprising, because typically, you don't sell rookies. It's just not something you typically do, but I'm selling Mac Jones here. Mac Jones right now, in points per game, and I know everyone's talked about how great he's been, how accurate he's been, how he's bringing the Patriots back to relevancy, you know, all of this stuff. on a points per game basis, Mac Jones is worse than Tyrod Taylor, Daniel Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Sam Darnold. And to me, there's not much hope, at least of, in this season, of it getting that much better, because traditionally the Patriots, we saw it with Brady almost every year, run the ball way more once it starts getting cold. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of these high-flying games. Who knows? I mean, Bill Belichick is incredible. I can't believe he's coached this long, but he can't last forever too. So who knows how long into Mac Jones' career he's going to have Bill Belichick. There's no rushing production for the most part out of Mac Jones. You're just not getting it. So I think this is a good sell high point because everyone sees the rookie tag and how long you're going to get him in super flex leagues. And specifically, this is for super flex leagues. You're not going to get anything in one QB leagues. But I think this is the moment where you can capitalize on the value for an NFL team versus the value for your fantasy team. I think Mac Jones is a much better NFL quarterback than he is a fantasy football quarterback.
You're absolutely correct. And I wish I could give credit to whoever put this tweet out. I saw it after the Thursday night game where they played Atlanta. And it was someone put the meme of like Spider-Man being carried on the top of like people's, you know, hands. And they said the line under it was carefully, he's a hero, you know. And it's like Mac Jones's fantasy managers after he throws for 200 yards, a touchdown and an interception, you know, like
right.
he looks good. He looks the part from an NFL perspective and he's executing the offense extremely well. But is that leading to a ton of valuable fantasy production? He'll have games where you can plug him in as a streamer in like redraft leagues and one QB. But for the most part, yeah, I think that the perception and value from what Mac Jones brings to the table is more so based on what he's doing from an NFL perspective versus from a fantasy perspective. And so, yes, I completely agree. If you can take advantage of that, you can sell him off for someone who comes with more rushing upside, that you have at least that solid floor to lean back on. Absolutely, absolutely agree. I'm going to go with one final player here, and I don't know necessarily if you're going to be able to get as much for this player now as what you could have gotten earlier on in the season, but Mike Williams was on a tear to begin the season, and then he has absolutely fallen off here over the past few weeks. Now, he had that 5 for 97 and a touchdown game 2 weeks ago, but then finished outside the top 40 wide receivers again this past week. Like, he is absolutely going to finish. It's funny, I charted this recently. He is either going to finish within the top 12 on the week or outside the top 40. Like, there is no in-between for Mike Williams here in Los Angeles. And he is a free agent after this year. And I think that what Los Angeles did was they said that we want this possession-style receiver, this guy who can make the contested catches. Okay, we'll go draft Josh Palmer where we did. And I think that Josh Palmer is the heir apparent to the Mike Williams role here in Los Angeles. I don't think that they're going to shell out a ton of money here for Mike Williams, especially with how inconsistent he has been. So, looking at Williams and where he could end up next year, he could end up in a favorable spot, or he could wait on the open market, much like Kenny Golladay did this past year, and end up in a spot where we say, man, that's just not the best from a fantasy perspective. So I'm looking to take Mike Williams, and maybe, you know, this is kind of your last spot to do it, but because of trade deadlines, but being able to maybe ship him off based on what he did in the beginning of the year, because his value was, I mean, absolutely in the basement to begin the year. Then he kind of brought himself back up. If I can get a second round pick for an early second round pick from Mike Williams right now, I'm absolutely doing that move. Let's transition over to buy low players. I'm going to throw it to you for your first buy low option.
The first one I'm going to go with is, you know, the best time to buy low, or the only opportunity sometimes to buy low, is because people are frustrated with this player. You know, it's not a buy low if he's playing well. That's a buying high. So, you know, there's going to be some frustration with all of these players that I'm talking about. But I think that their long-term outlook is still great, especially to the price that you're going to have to pay right now for him. So the first guy is Amari Cooper. I think there's a lot of frustration around Amari Cooper. He missed a game earlier in the season. He's now missed 2 games in a row because of COVID. He might even miss this week, the rumor has it. So, like, there's definitely some frustration. Like, I know I have him on a couple teams, and I'm like, I need you right now, Amari. Like, come on, man. But if you're a team that is not necessarily a contender, but even if you are, you know, he is going to be back at some point this season. And it doesn't feel like it, but Amari Cooper actually, on a points per game basis, has 0.3 points more per game than Michael Pittman Jr. and the same amount as DJ Moore. It just doesn't feel that way because he's missed some time and we've been frustrated with him lately. Let's not forget that he's still on an incredibly good offense. He's only going to be 27 years old. Like, there's still a lot of tread left on those tires. I'm still a big Amari Cooper guy. And as a guy that I think you can pay low to mid-range wide receiver two prices, I think he'll easily continue to deliver on that throughout his career and maybe even better.
It's just crazy that Amari Cooper is still only 27 years old. Like, you think that he has been, and he's been in the league for a very long time, but even that, like, still only 27 years old, he came in so young. So that is just crazy. Yeah, I agree that Amari Cooper, you look at the offense, and that's kind of what you want to tie yourself to as a dynasty manager, is these good offenses that don't seem to be changing anytime soon, right? Like, this Dallas offense is going to be good for a very long time with Dak Prescott at quarterback. So I think that that's a really solid option here, especially for, you mentioned it, buy low opportunities are created when reality doesn't meet expectations. And so with Amari Cooper, people are a little bit frustrated. I do think that opens at least the window. The three players that I'm going to talk about here, of course, we'll break them up, but the three players that I'm going to talk about are players that, and this is what I love to do in Dynasty, is to be able to take shots on guys that their situation is going to change this upcoming year, right? Where free agency, they could end up in a much better spot. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But guys like we talked about Keelan Cole last offseason, right? It was like Keelan Cole, you could pick up off your Dynasty waiver wire. You could send a fourth round pick for him. It's worth taking the shot on him because he could end up in a different spot with free agency. He did, and it looked great until they drafted Elijah Moore. And so things like that, where I'm going to be able to take shots on these guys, and this player you are absolutely going to have to pay up for. But this little buy low window is created because he had a down game this past week. That's Chris Godwin, the wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is a free agent after this season. And you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are cap strapped. They are going to have to work miracles again this next offseason to try to make things work. And they've got plenty of players that they need to re-sign. They signed short-term deals with a lot of these guys. And I think that's going to leave Chris Godwin on the outside looking in, where unless he takes a team-friendly deal, I don't know if he's going to be back in Tampa Bay next year. And even if he is, I still think he's going to be an incredibly reliable option, but there are still plenty of mouths to feed in that Tampa Bay offense. If he ends up anywhere else, if he ends up hitting the open market, he is going to be the wide receiver one on a roster in some way, shape, or form. Like, he is just an absolutely incredible wide receiver, and he's still a young player. So Chris Godwin is someone that I am willing to send away a first round pick next year for. Like, that's just the investment that I'm willing to make in him, because I know that even if he returns to Tampa Bay, he's going to be valuable, but he has the potential to turn into a top five dynasty wide receiver next offseason if he ends up in the right spot. So that is an investment that I'm willing to make currently on Chris Godwin. Let's go back to you for your second buy low option.
Well, now I'm a little worried that I might have taken another one of yours, because this is a guy that should be a free agent this offseason, and he's near and dear to your heart as a Chicago Bears fan. I'm looking at Allen Robinson. People have left Allen Robinson absolutely for dead, but let's not forget, before this year, he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He was a guy that once put up 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. It's just an absurd stat line. And he's still only 28 years old right now. He will be to start the season as well next year. So, and he'll turn 29 during the season. So there is still a little bit of tread on the tires. I'm not saying this is a, you know, 5-6-year guy. Right. We're talking about a 2-3-year window. But he's playing on the franchise tag. He was obviously a little disgruntled this year, but when he is Allen Robinson, when he is the guy that we've seen before, he is absolutely a low-end wide receiver one, and there are opportunities out there where he could end up on a very good roster, but even if he just ends up on a mediocre roster with a mediocre quarterback that'll get a mediocre targets, like, this feels mean because it's my team, but the Browns, like, even if he just ended up with mediocre Baker Mayfield, that would still be a bit of an upgrade from what he's been dealing with lately. So I'm not saying he's going to be this amazing, you know, top end wide receiver, but his value is just in the toilet. I've seen people trading like low end seconds to get him. And if you can do something as crazy as that, I think the juice is more than worth the squeeze.
So I have to laugh, because a few weeks ago I got eviscerated on Twitter because I made a trade for Allen Robinson
that's right. I forgot about this.
Yeah. I got destroyed for sending away a 2023 first round pick and Donovan Peoples-Jones for Allen Robinson. And you mentioned it, like, before the year, what were you going to have to send away to get Allen Robinson? You're going to have to send away a first round pick in 2022 plus something, right? Like, right. That was guaranteed. And that you might have had to send away two first round picks, like, to be able to get Allen Robinson, who had been so incredibly consistent. Now you have Justin Fields as his quarterback. Like, everything was pointing in the direction for A-Rob to be a valuable dynasty asset moving forward. And then yeah, it hasn't gone well this year. Like, there's no questioning that. There's no defending that. But play it forward. We're talking about dynasty, and you play in the window of 2 to 3 years. Next year, he's a free agent. Okay, he could end up in a very dynamic and explosive offense. He could want to just play with a phenomenal quarterback, so he could take a cheaper deal, something like that. He could end up in a very, very favorable spot. At that point, you have Allen Robinson back in the top 12, top 15 conversation. Even if you mentioned it, even if he ends up in a different spot, even if it returns to Chicago, because Matt Nagy's going to be gone. So then what offensive structure are they going to bring in with a second year Justin Fields that could be a more explosive offense? Like, the situation is going to improve for Allen Robinson there regardless. So I can figure out how to get back a 2023 first round pick in 23 months. You know, like, that is so far away from where I have to make that selection for a 2023 first. I can figure that out later. I want the players. I want the players who have proven that they can do things and do them to a high level, whose situation could improve and change. That's Allen Robinson for me. So I had written him down as well. Another player that I'll talk about here is Marlon Mack. This, I won't, you know, take long on this one. Marlon Mack, at least at this point, you can get for nothing. He is going to be a free agent this next year. This one might not turn into anything, but in a situation where we talked about Jamal Williams last year, right? Like, Jamal Williams in Green Bay, okay, he's not really doing a ton for fantasy, but he's going to be a free agent. Now he ends up in Detroit, and he does have some value as a high-end insurance policy to DeAndre Swift. And the next couple of weeks, we actually could see Jamal Williams deliver some key matchups to fantasy managers because DeAndre Swift could miss the next couple of weeks, like that kind of mentality. So being able to take Marlon Mack, add him to the bottom of your bench for a fourth-round pick, a third-round pick next year, whatever, you add him, and if his situation improves, great. If it doesn't, then you didn't really waste that pick, because third and fourth round picks really don't turn into anything traditionally. So taking, Allen Robinson for sure as a buy low option. Marlon Mack is that second buy low option for me. Let's go back to you for your third and final buy low player.
Yeah, I'll keep this one short and sweet. I'm still trying to buy low on Kyle Pitts. The situation got about as ugly as it could possibly get in Atlanta this year. But on top of that, let's not forget, this is normal for a tight end to take a little bit of time to develop. And I would argue he's actually developed very well. It's just gotten to the point where there is no help for him. He is their offense outside of Cordarrelle Patterson. And for the most part, Patterson's lining up in the backfield right now. So when it's a pass-catching route, Kyle Pitts is the guy in every team. You saw Bill Belichick do it beautifully, just keying in absolutely on him. He's going to have a full offseason to be able to work with this team. He's going to have, hopefully at some point, we don't know for sure, but we're assuming Calvin Ridley is going to be back. He didn't retire from football. He's just taking some time off. So we don't know when, but I believe it is more of a when than an if, personally. So I think that those will be the 1-2 punch in this offense. Who knows what will happen with Matt Ryan, but he's still just far too talented. And it went from him being the no doubt about it, tight end one in fantasy football. Everybody was talking about it for dynasty purposes. Like, he is the guy that you have to get, to now it's not really that way anymore. George Kittle has now reemerged once again. We have some younger guys that are starting to produce, like Pat Freiermuth. Like, it's not as Kyle Pitts than everybody else like it used to be. He's on a similar tier with some other players now. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I would still obviously take him above Pat Freiermuth. I'm not saying Freiermuth's passed him any stretch of the imagination, but it's just the gap is not there like it once was. And I think 2 years down the road, we could be back to the point where that gap looks huge again.
It's hard to blame Pitts for what has happened here in Atlanta, right? Like, this is not completely on him. Like, he's had some drops here or there, but it's more so the product of he has no one else to threaten and take away coverage in this offense. So yeah, I completely agree. Kyle Pitts, if you can get him, I think that it's worth the investment. What would you be willing to send away for Kyle Pitts? Let me ask you that, and then I'll get to my final buy low player.
No, and it's good to talk about that, because sometimes you say buy in a vacuum, you're like, well, what would it take?
Right, right.
You know, if we're talking about We're not talking about tight end premium. We're just talking about a regular, 1 point per catch type of league. I am more than willing to send a first round pick plus in order to get Kyle Pitts. It might even take two. And I would probably be willing to give two first round picks, assuming that I'm more of a contender and they're going to be later picks. I would be willing to give two picks, probably first round picks, in order to get Kyle Pitts. And that's expensive. I get that that's not cheap. But what would you give to have, you know, the young version of Travis Kelce once again?
Right.
What would you give to get the young version of George Kittle once again? Or, you know, any of those guys that have produced, he has the best shot. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but he has the best shot to turn into one of those types of players. And if you have a dominant tight end, that is just such a mismatch on your fantasy matchups.
It is. And two, let's remember, he's 20, 21 years old. You know, like yeah, this is, he's still, if you're going to be able to send away those two first round picks for Kyle Pitts, you're going to have him for the next however long your dynasty league is running. For me, I'm going to go back to Dallas. I'm going to go to the wide receiver position. I'm going to go with Michael Gallup, though. I've talked about him as a buy low option before on this show. I want to make sure that I hit that again here because we've seen with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper out of the lineup, then Michael Gallup can step in and be a wide receiver one for an offense, right? He produced over 100 yards in this past game on Thanksgiving. Like, he can be that option for an NFL team. And so when he hits free agency this year, and I think there is a very small percentage chance that he is re-signed here in Dallas. Again, you talk about Tampa Bay and their cap issues. Like, you just have so much money allocated to the offensive weapons here in Dallas that I think they let Michael Gallup walk and try to replace him in the draft or whatever. But he goes from being the wide receiver three in a very good offense to the wide receiver one, potentially in another good offense. Or even if he is in a mediocre offense, like, he's still going to get plenty and plenty of targets. He has the talent to make those count. So Michael Gallup is a guy that I'm looking to acquire right now. His stock is a little bit higher just because he's done something here over the past couple weeks. But I do think that he is someone that I'm looking to acquire because his situation will change. Again, taking those shots on guys where we could see their situation change dramatically moving forward, and that's the type of investments that I want to take at this point of the season. All right, that will do it for today's show. Garrett, I appreciate you coming on, man. A little bit short notice, but I appreciate you coming on and talking some buy low and sell high players. You want to let us know what you got going on here at Dynasty Nerds?
Yeah. All my work, you can find it at Dynasty Nerds. We have the GM tool. We have, you know, the trade calculators. We have the works. But the biggest thing that I want to highlight is the film room. We take great pride in trying to focus in on the rookie classes every year. And the way, one of the biggest ways we do that is we cut up a bunch of tape and we're talking about every snap from a player's game. So let's say, you know, you're looking at Breece Hall in this year's draft and you want to say, you know, how did he do versus Texas, or how did he do, you know, whatever game it is. And go in there, you can look it up. The game's going to last you roughly 5 minutes, but it's only going to be his snaps. As soon as the camera is not on him anymore, we're cutting to the next play. So we keep it moving through real quick. But it's a really good gauge for those hardcore dynasty guys to be able to say, how do I actually feel about this player? So be part of the Dynasty Nerds Nerd Herd. I truly believe you will not regret it.
It's one of my favorite resources in the offseason, right, is to be able to get into the film room and be able to watch the tape. And it's crucial too, like, we do this Dynasty podcast and you guys do your stuff over at Dynasty Nerds because we want to be able to bring information to you guys as listeners of Dynasty and Dynasty fanatics and stuff like that. But we want you to be able to make the decisions for yourself. So we bring you differing viewpoints. We bring you players that we might not completely agree on, and especially in draft season. Like, we will get to differing opinions on prospects, and for us to be able to bring that to you, and then for you to have the tools at your hands, at your disposal, to be able to make those decisions for yourself and see what we're talking about either one way or the other, that's crucial. And that film room over at Dynasty Nerds is a huge way to do it. All right, that will do it for today's episode. For Garrett Price, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.